Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your wonderful work in our lives. And Lord, we're here only because of you. We praise you, Lord, and as we gather around your word now, that, Lord, we be filled with your spirit. Lord, that we not neglect that command, Lord, and that we put away the very cares and thoughts of this day and the yesterday and tomorrow, and just put our minds and our heart upon your presence with us this morning. Father, may your word just truly and richly touch our hearts today, Lord, in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so the title of this morning's message is Being a Friend of Jesus. Being a Friend of Jesus. When you think about it, a friend's a person that you know well. They're someone that you're fond of. They have they're intimate associates. You share with them things you might not share with other people. They're a person on the same side in a struggle. They're an ally in the battles. Someone who's opposed to the same enemies that you are. They're a friend is someone who speaks the truth in love when it's needed. And it's a mutual attachment. There's an intimacy there. And Jesus time and time again showed us what it meant for someone to be his friend. In John 14:15, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In fact, verse 21 of John 14, he said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." In verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." And in our chapter, John chapter 15 and verse 9 and 10, we read, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." You know, being a friend of Jesus. Look at our text there, starting in verse 12. It says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." You know, God is in the business of shaping our lives. You know, it's one thing to know and have God as our friend. It is quite another matter for him to call someone his friend. "Ye are my friends," John 15:14. "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Notice the emphasis there is on ye. That's you and me. That's the disciples. And my, that's him. And we're his friends, he says, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Isn't that what we do? We obey him. We love him. We listen to him. And the truth is that it isn't the actual act of what we do that makes Jesus our friend. It's our obedience to him in the things he asks us to do. It's a whatsoever. His commands, when we're obedient to them, it shows that we are his friends. There was a commercial on television a few years back that the taxi driver would turn around to a passenger and used to say, "Me and God are mates." We're not mates with God. That puts us on the same level as him, and that's not true. We're not his buddy. He is God, we are not. We are his friends through trust and obedience to his commands upon our life. Firstly, Christ's friendship for us was declared by himself. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, who is Jesus? Was he just a man who went about saying nice things, putting forward thought-provoking ideas and doing good works? You see, Jesus wasn't just the best of all human beings. He is the Son of God. This isn't a suggestion from the Lord, brothers and sisters. This is a command from him. This goes way back to chapter 13, 34, where he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. This is where it comes from. It's not a suggestion. It's his commandment to his believers. John 14, 10 says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God came down and to this earth, and he walked in our ways without sin. He faced temptations that we face without sin. He revealed his love to us. He is the friend of sinners, and in the true and fullest sense, he is the friend of believers, those who have trusted their lives to him, who know him and love him. See, when God came into this world, John 3, 17 says, for God sent not his Son into this world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. You see, Christ's friendship is proved by his relationship with us, and it's one of intimacy. It is personal, it is real, and it is essential to walking with him. Jesus has this same relationship with his heavenly Father, and what his Father revealed to him, he reveals to us. See, the Father kept no secrets from the Son, and Jesus hides nothing from us, the true believer. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Listen, the Christian life is not a guessing game. The Christian life isn't something you gamble upon. The Christian life is, it is written. It's down, it's recorded, it's real, it's truthful. We do not have to wonder how to live. We do not have to wonder what to say. We do not have to wonder how to act, how to dress, where to go. Everything a person needs to live a life in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ has been revealed. When a master takes a servant into his confidence, the servant then occupies a special place of communion and friendship with the master. And Jesus is giving us this point here. There are no gambles, there's no risks, there's no worries. It is written. He says, if you continue in my word, John 8, 31, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, the Lord has proved his friendship to us by revealing to us everything we need to know about God's purpose of salvation and eternal life. Everything is clear, it's there. Nothing is hidden.
God has not made it difficult for people to know him through his son in a personal and intimate relationship with him. The words of Christ communicate his love for us. They are words of friendship and words of great love that we may never, ever truly understand. And listen, it is the unspiritual in our time as well as in the Lord's time that find what Jesus says too tough to handle, that find it uninteresting or of no value. They won't read it every day. They won't appropriate the promises to their lives. It's on the shelf. And if they remember by the end of the week to get the dust off it, they'll bring it along to church. Yet Jesus went even further in proving his friendship to us. He went beyond words. He laid down his life. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, men can be found to give up money, to give up time, to give up effort, possessions, even position for a friend. But the greatest proof of love is when a person is ready and willing to give up their life and secure the life of someone else, their dearest friend. Now the Lord says this is the measure of love that believers are to have for each other. This is a self-sacrificing love. Because that's exactly what he did for us. But he more than just gave up his life. He took the penalty of our sin and the sin of the world on his body, upon himself, so that he could offer salvation to the whole world. And he not only gave us a knowledge of God, he gave us salvation by his death and eternal life through his resurrection. And it was a willing sacrifice in order to win our hearts, to make us his friends, so we would know the principle and the power of what he accomplished to bind us to him forever in gratitude and devotion. And not enough Christians have sat at the foot of the cross and looked up at the cross to see what was actually accomplished in the shed blood and the death of our Savior. Now, would we say we are grateful? By that I mean, do we agree with everything he says? Are we thankful to him for where we are at this moment, what we have at this moment? That we desire to please him in all that we do? Are we truly devoted to him, or are we just devoted to our own cause? In that, I mean, are we devoted to him in that we have set ourselves apart and dedicated loyal and faithful service to him? You see, he's proved his friendship to us, amen. We have a friend in heaven. We have a friend who never changes. A friend, Proverbs 18:24 tells us, sticks closer than a brother. Now, there may be times in our lives when we feel like we do not have any friend and we do despair. But we have the glorious and high privilege as a believer to know that we are a friend of Christ as well as a child of God. And what a friend he is to us. Secondly, how is our friendship for him? Verse 14 is the key part of our text. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You see, friendship is always a two-way partnership. You see, the Lord Jesus did all he had to do to show his friendship. Now he tells us what it is for us to be his friend. Ye. You see, that makes it very, very personal. But the reality of this friendship and it becoming real in our lives lies with the same response Abraham had when in Genesis 12 he was commanded by the Lord to take his family, pack up, and leave his family with his family and left all his other family there in the Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land that God said he would show him. He didn't tell him where. He didn't tell him how. He said, just get up and go, Abraham. And some 40 years later in Genesis 22, God says to Abraham, he says, listen, I want you to take your only son, Isaac, your only son. He says in verse 1, it came to pass after these things. That means Ishmael's gone. Abraham now only has one son. That God did tempt Abraham, that's the word for test, said unto him, and Abraham said, behold, here I am. And he said, now take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, the only child. It's the word to be one. Isaac was a miracle child. He wasn't a normal child. He was a miracle child. Take your son and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. He didn't hesitate. There's no verse of saying, well, why me, God? I've followed you. I've done enough. Now you want the only son I've got. He doesn't say anything like that. He just gets up and goes. In fact, he was prepared to sacrifice him. He clave the wood. He took everything needed. Everything. No complaining. No balking. No excuses. And Abraham laid his son on that altar. And he raised that knife in faith and obedience. And Hebrews 11:19 tells us, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. He didn't hesitate. He didn't ask why. He knew that God had the promises in Abraham and his heirs to be a blessing to this world. And he knew if God asked him to sacrifice his son, then God would have to raise him up again to fulfill his promise. Now, our being friends with Jesus lies in responding the exact same way. Faith that brings immediate and thorough obedience to whatever God calls us to do. You see, this is an obedience that enters a relationship with him that yields everything in our life to him. Not tomorrow, not next week or next month or next year, but right now. It's clear and it's simple. Now, many people say, well, if he shows me something more substantial, I'll go. I'm going to do this, and if God responds like that, I'll go. I'll make a decision if God makes the provision. If, when, how, excuses not to be his friend. Why do I say that? Because from start to finish, we are commanded to trust him, obey him, and follow him. But that's not friendship, you say. Why? That's not what being a friend is all about. This is a master commanding a servant, not a friend. Yet Jesus makes it very clear, service and submission are a proof of his disciples' friendship to him. Listen, Jesus cannot be any less than the Son of God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is absolute authority and he cannot change that. That's who our friend is. Even when he's working for us and we may be suffering because of that, he is still the Lord. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. But the average Christian wants to be like an ostrich and just bury their head in the sand and not know the commands of God. Because they know if they study them and look at them, just the New Testament alone, 53 or so more commands of Christ. If they look at them, they're going to have to do them if they want to be his friend. If you don't want to be his friend, don't do them. It's simple theology. He is absolute authority and he cannot change that. That's who our friend is. So ye is us. Now it's the word my. It's personal. You see, this isn't any sort of relationship. It's one with him. And we need to remember who's speaking to us. It is God himself. And he assures you and me that he is in person. He is personally involved with us. When was the last time we stood in awe of that? That God himself is personally involved in our lives. I'll show you how personal it is. Where are you on the prayer meeting? Where are you in the Sunday afternoon service? Oh, I've got other things to do. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You see, our friendship to him is revealed clearly by our heart attitude towards him. Do we admire his character? You know, we look at our earthly friends and we admire their qualities and their principles and their conduct, their attitudes, which is fair enough, but they're all from imperfect people. You see, we don't have to put qualifications on Jesus because he is perfect. And we love him because of who he is. And the believer who's willing to be obedient, the one who is his friend, takes great joy and great delight in his company. See, the disciples loved to be with him. And the friend of Jesus loves to be with him as well. Oh, there are many gods in this world trying to take the attention of believers away, especially in the family with children. They put these great superheroes up as something special. And what a shame it is for a believer to let their children worship these superheroes. Instead of reading the great stories of David and his battles, of Joshua and Caleb, of Mary, all who are greater stories than anything man can fix or think up. You see, these are the ordinary outshowings of friendship, but see, a relationship with him goes way beyond the ordinary. We revere him. We stand in awe of his dignity and his glory. And then we can only do this as we grow in a knowledge of him and grow in conforming to what he asks us to do, or commands us to do, I should say. The closer you get to a mountain, the more you realize the size of it. Now, all these years ago when I first went to New Zealand, on the West Coast, it's usually pretty misty and rainy and wet. And people were telling me, I went into this town called New Plymouth, and people were telling me there's a great gigantic mountain here. In those days, it was called Mount Egmont. Today, it's Mount Taranaki. There's this great giant mountain. I said, I can't see any mountain. I was there 3 days. I couldn't see more than 10 feet in front of me. I almost caught the boat home. Praise God, I didn't. Someone said, go to the other side of the island for sun, and there I met my wife. Amen. But on the fourth day, I walked out of the youth hostel, and it was a clear day, and I was looking forward to getting outside, and I went outside and literally had to sit down because here's a volcano sticking out of nothing, covered in snow. No hills around it. It's just flat land with a giant volcano sticking out of it. Incredible. All I wanted to do was get to the top of it. Listen, the more we draw near to Christ, the more obedient we are to his commands, the more glorious, the more holy he appears to us. See, our gratitude to him is then totally different to any of our gratitude to a human friendship. You see, when you have a human friendship, there are certain degrees of obligations. But in Christ, we cannot even begin to measure what we owe him. You know, we should put no value at all on our devotion to him. None. We should just be devoted. You see, it's all or it's nothing. You see, we cling to devotion. We count it as invaluable. We foster it. We take care of it. We nurture our devotion to him. Listen, look at what he has done. Take notice of who he is. It is only natural he should receive from every believer total surrender of their hearts and their lives. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. What an awesome invitation from the mouth and heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be his friend, and in being so, receiving everything he desires to share with us in his love for us. You see, this is an invitation for you, and I haven't left me out. I've already had to do this. I had to write the message. This is an invitation for you to receive all. Listen carefully, that God wants to be in your life. This is what it is. Are you going to take it? To take it, you've got to be obedient to his commands. Otherwise, the invitation is null and void. Have you made this personal in your life? Listen, can you see your name written there in this verse? Have you and I said, yes, Lord, I would be your friend? Thirdly is the condition of our friendship. We come to the word, we've done ye and my, now we come to if. Now if is the condition. Here is the heart of God's covenant love. If means there is a clear condition of response on our part to what Jesus is commanding us. This is where the response comes from our heart. This, brothers and sisters, is the moment of truth. You're in here today. You're hearing the word of God today loud and clear. I'm doing nothing special. I'm just telling you what it says. Now you're sitting in the moment of truth. If he is God to me, then the response will be, yes, Lord. But only if you've truly surrendered and allowed him to be God and Lord of your life. It'll be yes, Lord, to every command that he gives. Well, Lord, you know what it's like. I'm just not there yet. Oh, look, Lord, one day, I'm trying the best I can. One day it'll be, yes, Lord, and you're my God and you're my Saviour, and I'll obey. It's not one day, it's today. We're under the Word today. We're under the challenge of the Spirit today upon our hearts. Will it be, yes, Lord, I will obey? Because it is only the heart that knows the deep intimacy of a relationship that makes that response to God at all times, whatever the cost. It's to say from the heart at all times, not my will, but thine be done. And it takes a special understanding of God and relationship to him to be able to do that. And it's not just in the big decisions. Oh, we'd love to call on God when there's nowhere else to go, amen? But it's the little ones where the heart is conditioned, where the heart is trained. When circumstances, a type of famine may come into our lives and we must alter our plans, do we instinctively turn to God for his counsel? And when we receive it, do we fully, in a response of obedience, do what he says? A challenge could come in finances, or a choice of work, or our health could change. Well, if we're servants of Christ, if we're obedient Christians, we will seek and obey his will alone, regardless of the cost. If we respond to him that way, then we are his friends. But listen, if we don't, then we still have a long way to go in our relationship with him. Ye do, the Lord says. You see, it's not the one who says, Lord, Lord, who enters into the kingdom of heaven, who shares in the full experience and rule of God's reign in their lives. It's the ones who do the will of my Father which is in heaven, who experiences God working in them and through them and around them in their daily lives, in their family, in their marriage. Very clear, faith without works, brothers and sisters, is dead. Absolutely dead. You see, if Abraham had said he believed God and didn't take his family and move where God wanted him to go to, then that's not faith at all. If Abraham had not raised that, put his son on that altar and raised that knife prepared to sacrifice his son, then it's not faith and belief at all. In fact, it's not obedience for sure. It's rebellion and it's disbelief. Those who would be a friend of God would never fail to obey him when he speaks a command to them. Is God speaking today? God wants you to listen to his counsel. Counsel outside the will of God is rebellion against God. Even as Proverbs 11:14 tells us that the counsel of many godly people can be good, it should never replace the counsel of God. When we take godly counsel, we should go back to the Word and see if it measures up. Do we obey his commands? Listen, if the only standard God ever gave was doing his commands, would he consider you and I his friend? wonderful little snippet on the front of the bulletin today of a concern in money, there's where you meet your true friend. Praise the Lord. Look at the money that the church gave to the missionaries and the speaker the other week. What a blessing. But we see today, you get on the internet and you're looking at a Christian site. I had one pop up the other day. Tithing's not biblical. Anyone tells you tithing's not biblical, just say, get behind Satan and leave me alone. Because it is. Tithing was not... Abraham tithed before the law. He tithed to the order of Melchizedek. Christ is where? The order of Melchizedek. We can't say we're faithful if we don't give properly. That's where the rubber hits the road, brothers and sisters. Well, I'm not coming back to this church next week. Whatsoever, the verse says. Listen, the servant doesn't tell the master what they're going to do or what they won't do. The servant, the true servant of God, says, yes, Lord, without a question. A friend doesn't hesitate, no matter the request. In fact, John put it this way in 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. You know, Jesus talked about his relationship to his disciples, and he said he was a good shepherd. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see, God's required whatever with Abraham was to give up his own life, his own ambitions, and then years later to give up the life of his son, and he did. And a friend of the Lord responds completely to whatever is asked. And the best motive for obedience is always love. And our love for God is revealed to our hearts by how obedient we are to him in everything we are asked or commanded to do. Are there areas in our life where we've put a little sign up, do not enter God? This part of my life, God, is not to be touched by you. It's out of bounds. This is my little area. Leave it alone. You see, when there's a definite no to whatever he asks in our relationship with the Lord, then we're not his friends. The Bible's pretty clear. It's pretty simple. He may faithfully be our friend, but we're not his friend. And there's no exception. John 14:21 tells us, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23 of John 14, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Brothers and sisters, God has never, ever in his word, well, I can't find it, ever made a suggestion. He commands for the simple reason he is God, he is the creator, and we are the creature. You see, you can always know a friend of God because they always do what the Lord commands. The question is, are we by this standard his friend? Truly. We can be, but it's a choice. It's a choice of a heart that truly loves him. that loves him with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. A heart that obeys his commands immediately and thoroughly and with faith that he is God, that he loves you. And whatever his command is, it's always for our good and his glory. Verse 17 says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." You know, to love your brethren and do what it takes to ensure that love, you're to take the limits off your love for God. You see, if you're not loving God properly, you'll never love your brother or sister properly. See, we're to have no outer bounds for God. We're to do whatever he asks and to be obedient immediately to his call on our life. We seek his counsel and will. And we be obedient to it. If you say yes, Lord, to these things, I want just everyone to bow their heads now and close their eyes. I don't want any looking around. If you say yes to this, you want to commit right now, I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Amen. 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 You've committed your life right now to be known as Jesus' friend. And Joshua 24:15 says, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you shall serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Heavenly Father, we thank you for those hands that were raised. Lord, we may not have seen who they were, but you certainly did. And Lord, as we have committed our lives completely to you now to be obedient in every command, Lord, we need to be aware that you will bring about what's needed for us to fulfill our promise now to you. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the excitement that brings into our life to know that there are going to be times where we're going to have to walk completely by faith, trusting you. And we thank you for that. For those who are here today and do not know you as Lord and Savior, I ask, Father, they would not leave until they have asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" Lord, this just isn't a message on a Sunday morning. This is life itself. And our hearts need to respond in obedience to your commands. "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." These things we pray in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.